but often is the main leader clearly what we think of as the main leader is Moses.
You know, I think a lot of times we'll think, you know, oh yeah, it's Moses is for sure the leader. But something I've noticed while reading Deuteronomy is Moses was a leader for sure. God was the main leader, but actually Moses was a team player. You know, a lot of times I look at Moses and see him kind of as out there on his own to fend for holiness with Israel. But he was a team player for speaking God's word and delivering his message. But he was also one that kind of seeked teammates as well. He was for sure a team player with, you know, being a partner with God and really going after it. But he actually, there were others, part of Israel, that were teammates as well and really kind of helped with that. And so he did not need to be the only one doing everything, which Moses, we all know, kind of struggled with that until Jethro came along and said, hey, you gotta start giving some of this stuff up and let other people take care of things and lead things. And I'm going to talk a lot about team tonight, or team player, or kind of sporty terms, because we are men, and so we can kind of understand those things. For sure, that's why I got my sports shirt on tonight. But you know, how often do we have the mindset that we, right here, that we're a team, that we are a team, but more importantly, you know, we are family. You know, how often do we have that mindset that we stick together and we do our part, and we do our part for the greater good of God and for the greater good to see God's blessings amongst us, not amongst each other as individuals, but amongst us as a whole. And by doing our part, and by being teammates, we're able to see God's promises fulfilled, you know, in our lives, and we're able to see God's name really, really glorified. So throughout the book of Deuteronomy, there are kind of subtle hints that Moses actually does, he has a team, and he's a teammate. He might be the captain of the team or whatever, but he for sure is a team, and he has people on his side assisting and helping, and even sometimes they are the ones actually leading the way. And so that's my first point, is we are a team. Okay, so if we go to Deuteronomy 21, and as we're turning there, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for the chance to come together. I pray for the women to really get a lot out of the lesson tonight, and for the men as well, God, that we will learn, we will grow, that we will see you moving our hearts to places that please you, places that maybe we don't like to go, places that are challenging for us, but all the more that we will be humble to your word and to your ways, God. I thank you that you are so powerful, that your word really moves our hearts and is really what we need in our lives, God, and thank you so much that we get to hear your word tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Deuteronomy 21, starting in verse 5 and 6, it reads, "The priests, the sons of Levi, shall step forward, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister and to pronounce blessings in the name of the Lord, and to decide all cases of dispute and assault. Then all the elders of the town nearest the body shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley." Well, what's going on here? This is how to deal with an unsolved murder, as the title says. But what I'm really focusing on here is the fact that there are elders and priests, and that they actually do have a role here. And so if we then go to Deuteronomy 27, starting in verse 1, "Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, 'Keep all these commands that I give you today.'" So here's Moses and the elders. What are they doing? They're working together, sharing the commands of God together, and communicating the message of God. It's not just Moses, but here are the elders as well. And if we go down a little bit further to verse 9 of Deuteronomy 27, "Then Moses and the priests, who are Levites, said to all Israel, 'Be silent, O Israel, and listen. You have now become the people of the Lord your God. Obey the Lord your God and follow his commands and decrees that I give you today.'" So now who's working together? Well, now the teammates are Moses and the priests. They're working together, teaching Israel and letting them know what is of utmost importance. Say, hey, listen, pay attention. You need to obey these commands that we are telling you. So it's not just Moses, as we've kind of thought, and maybe as we've read, that Moses is doing everything. But here, there's actually other people that are spreading the message. And how often do we think maybe we kind of compartmentalize things, and we think, well, they do that, they do this, I'm not good at that, so let me kind of take a step back. But no, we're all leaders in some way, shape, or form. And I don't know if you guys actually think about that too much. Or Timmy, do you think about that very much? I don't think so. Stay with us, bro. Stay with us, man. Maybe you stand up if you need to. Yeah, I mean, the word's being preached, though. So if you go to fall asleep, stand up.
I mean, I like how you just described it. It's like we can't all be quarterbacks.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that, Damon. So, but we stand side by side. As teammates, we stand side by side. Whether we're a quarterback or we're a linebacker, whether we're a fullback or a center mid, or we stand side by side. And that's what a team does. But a team makes it to practice. You know, they don't just show up for the show, but they make it to practice, and they put in the time, they put in the effort, they do kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff as well. They do the hard work because they're trying. They're all aiming for a common goal. And that common goal actually has a great complexity to it. It's challenging. It's difficult. It's not a common goal that only one person can attain, because it is a complex goal. Yeah. And because of the complexity of it, we all are needed.
Yeah.
Right? And so I really like this definition of team. This idea of team, here's the definition I found. It says, teams normally have members with complementary skills and generate synergy through a coordinated effort which allows each member to maximize his or her strengths and minimize his or her weaknesses. Team members need to learn how to help one another, help other team members realize their true potential, and create an environment that allows everyone to go beyond their limitations. You know, so I think with English football, you know, there's a player you want to pass it to him, but he's much stronger right-footed than left-footed. So you mindfully think, I got to get it to his right foot instead of to his left foot. That way, there's going to be a better finished product to get the ball into the goal. You think of American football. You know, oh, well, I know that guy that's defending him is taller, so I've got to throw it to a place where that defender's not going to be able to reach the ball and knock it down. And so we got to think about these things, but we got to help each other out to maximize. And how often do we think about that in this brotherhood, in this team, in this family of brothers? How often do we think, how can I maximize? How can I help them reach their potential for God? That's very easy in sports to talk about. Oh, we got to get a goal. We got to make a touchdown. We got to make a basket. But man, we're not here on a court. We're actually here on a much serious court. We're here on a court where there's a battle, and it's a real battle of good and evil, and not who wins and who loses. I think overall, yeah, who wins in their lives and who loses their lives, but it's much bigger than that. So like it or not, these are all times when we as God's people, we stand in times, and at times we need to lead. We need to do things. And I appreciate, you know, those that do communion. You know, TJ did a great job, and Lisa, they did a great job on Sunday of leading us to Jesus and the cross, and helping us have thoughts of Jesus, and helping us have thoughts of, man, what did Jesus do for me? You know, I appreciate today studying the Bible with Matt and Jacob, and Jacob saying some things that made me think of the cross, and Matt saying some things that made me think of the cross and think of Jesus. And so we all, in one way, shape, or form, help lead our thoughts. But where are we leading our thoughts? Where are we leading our actions? You know, I appreciate those that lead the singing to stir our hearts to think of God and how great He is. You know, I've noticed a lot when I watch a movie, if I watched a movie without music, if they totally just blanked out the music and I just watched the dialogue and all that, I don't think I'd ever be moved to tears.
Yeah.
But there are times in movies where I'm moved to tears, but it's the music that really stirs me. Mm. And so I appreciate those that sing songs and lead us in song that, and they stir our hearts to think of God and to think of how great He is. You know, I appreciate those that are hospitable. You know, the Caners, man, they talk about whatever it is. Talk about being hospitable. Man, I mean, I appreciate that so much. And I appreciate their hospitality. I appreciate it because everyone knows You know, even in the States, people know the Tainers, but it's because of their hospitality.
Yeah.
And so, but I appreciate that. But they, whether it's strangers or not, you know, they are hospitable. You know, we didn't even know them. And they said, sure, yeah, stay with us for 2 weeks. Besides a couple Skype calls, that was it. And they were totally open for us to stay there. Mm-hmm. So, but man, that's leading and showing, yeah, I'm going to care. I'm going to love. I'm going to give. I'm gonna let you into my life and into who I am and into my everyday life. And that can be a very private thing. But man, it's leading in that way. It's such a great thing. But so we do lead. We do lead. But how are we leading? When we lead, we need to make sure there's no isolation. You know, when we talk about being a team, there's no isolation with team. We need to make sure we are standing side by side, because I think we all know that there is no I in team. There is no I in team. And so how are we maybe isolating ourselves? I think for us it's kind of challenging. We as brothers, we kind of have our own, not many of us live together. And so it's easily like, let me go home. That's my comfort zone. That's me. That's my I world, whatever you want to call it. And I can just kind of be me. And so we don't, it can be challenging to just kind of soak yourself up and be isolated, you know, and just kind of do your thing, you know. But if we're a team, we're committed, and we're committed through and through, no matter what it is. And so, you know, I think that's a good question: is what are we committed to? Are we committed? And why are we committed? I appreciate Tope's lesson so much, and I still think about today. And is, man, covenant? It's with our heart. It's not this checklist. It's not this businessy. These meetings aren't businessy. This is our hearts. And so, why are we committed? And what are we committed to? Are we committed because it's our hearts? Are we committed because we are a team and we need each other for this complex common goal of praising God and glorifying God's name? And so, the challenging thing about a team, though, is we want to be committed to self sometimes. You know, people that come to mind is. And you might not know some of these American athletes, but I think of Chad Ochocinco, and I think of Terrell Owens. I think of these guys that are all about me, me, me. You know, we want to be committed to improving self and self getting taken care of. Give me the ball. Pass me the ball. I want the ball. You know, I think of Liverpool, Luis Suarez. He's a good finisher. He gets lots of goals, but a lot of times if he doesn't get past the ball, he gets upset. Yeah. He's like, why don't you pass me the ball? And so And you see it out in the field. You see him complaining and arguing. Why don't you give it to me? I want the ball. Mm-hmm. But is it more for the whole team, or is it more about self? And that's hard to tell. But we can tell in our hearts what it's really for. You know, I can remember playing football at uni, and I know exactly. I had 9 goals and 2 assists in my 4 years at uni, and I know that. And that, what is that though? I think, do I know what our record was as a team? I know my senior year our record was 12-8. But do I know what our records were before that? I definitely know my records, but do I know our team records? And so I think that's a challenging thing to think about is, man, do we know what's going on with the team?
Yeah.
Do we know what's going on with each other? So, you know, there's a baseball team in the States, the Florida Marlins. They won the World Series. I don't know why it's called the World Series, but whatever. The Florida Marlins, their slogan was, small things win rings. And I've always liked that slogan, and you can for sure spiritualize that. But it's the small things that get our hearts where they need to be. It's not big things, it's small things. It's easy things. It's getting time and inviting people over to your house. Someone missed church, and so I'm going to share the communion with them so they can think about Jesus too. And someone's ill, and so I'm going to call them and see that they're okay. It's the small things that add up to the big things, that win rings, that win souls, that win us hearing, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't think you're leading something, you are leading something. If you don't think you are leading someone, you are leading someone. But what is it? And are you leading an idea that I can do what I want to do? Or are you leading an idea where Jesus is Lord and this is about God?
Yeah.
You know, are you leading an idea that people don't need to commit to Jesus because, hey, Jesus loves me, so, you know, so I can kind of do my thing and be a teammate, but a teammate that's more focused on self. What ideas are you rubbing off on each other? So I think you do lead in that way. What kind of ideas are you rubbing off? Are your ideas even biblical? Are they just kind of what you think? You know, we're a team for God, and if we are a team for God, our fellowship needs to be a fellowship for God. Our fellowship needs to be about the lessons we hear, the quiet times that we're having, the things we're praying for, the things we're learning from the Bible, the way we're taking a stand for God, and not the way we're doing what we want to do. You know, it's not, our fellowship doesn't need to be about the latest Bond movie and how great it was, even though it is a good movie. It doesn't need to be about the latest score. You know, after service is over, are we looking at our phones and seeing what the 4 o'clock game and what the score was? Because it ends right about the same time that church ends, you know, or there's some Champions League games on tonight. I was like, what's the score of the games? What's this? You know, what does our fellowship entail? Or who's dating who now in the celebrity scene? Or who's president of the United States? I don't know. But is that what our fellowship is about? I have no idea. So, but I think that's a good thing to think about is, what is our fellowship made up of? What's our conversation? What ideas are we feeding and leading each other to? Are we leading each other to the Bible? Are we leading each other towards God? Think about these priests and these elders and Moses. What are they leading people to? They're leading people to the truth. They're leading people to God's commands. That's what they are leading people to. So if we're going to be a team that glorifies God and puts His name on high, you know, then God needs to be at the forefront of our conversations. But is God at the forefront? Is God burning at your lips? So you have that heart like Jeremiah where the word of God is this burning in your bones that you've got to let it out, as Jeremiah 20 talks about. You know, what was God at the forefront of the elders and the priests' hearts, as we read in Deuteronomy? Yeah. Yeah, they were focusing on giving the teachings of God to others. God was at the forefront. And who were the others that they were actually sharing the teachings with? Well, it was Israel. It was their own people. It was their brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, do you give the word of God to your own teammates? You know, do you do that? Do you do it to your own brothers and sisters in the Lord? Do you share the playbook with them? Do you share the playbook? Do you share the word with them? You know, we can't glorify God if we don't know the playbook, can we? We got to know the playbook. If we don't know the playbook, we're not going to be around very long. And it's the same. It's the same with as a sports analogy. If the players don't know the playbook, if they don't know what they're doing out there, or what position they're playing, they're not going to be around very long. We've got to know our playbook, and we've got to live out our playbook as well. And you know, I think because of the playbook is what? The playbook is how we live, and it's how we complete our task at hand. It's just our everyday life. That's our playbook, you know. And so, this is how we lead others. Is we let other people into the playbook, and we share the Bible. We talk about the Word of God. Playing football at uni, I remember we were playing our biggest rival. We were playing Claremont. Claremont's this huge rival, and man, I have some great memories of us beating them in like the final minutes, the 90th minute. Stoppage time, or some great being down 2 goals with 5 minutes left and scoring twice in the last 5 minutes to win. I mean, some great, great stories. But it was my senior year, and we were playing them at home. So it was the last time we would ever play Claremont at home. And the manager gave me the start. And so I was starting up front as a forward, and he told me my task is to run like crazy and distract the defenders, to distract the midfielders, to make them play the ball quickly, to put them under pressure so they make mistakes, and so we get possession and we go after it. And I remember him giving me this very, very specific direction, but what was I thinking was, I don't want to expend all my energy because this is my last game with Claremont at home, and look at the crowd, and I want them to see me. And so I don't want to use all my energy. I want to play it safe. And so am I thinking about the team? No, I'm not thinking about the team. I'm not thinking about the playbook. I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do. And the coach yelled at me while I was out there. And at uni, in football at uni, you can be subbed in and out. It's not like there's 3 subs and that's it. And I said, Coach, I don't want to get too tired too quick. I was gone in 30 seconds. I was done. I was done. Senior year, my last year, my fourth year at uni, I was done versus our rivals. And I didn't play the rest of the game. But I wasn't following the playbook. And so I didn't last long because I didn't follow the playbook. But then another time we were playing Pomona. And Pomona was another rival for us. And I remember I didn't start the game, but I was on the bench and we had a free kick. And we saw the free kick went through everybody and went to the back post and just went out of bounds. But they had no one covering the back post at all. And so coach came over and we talked and he's like, "Hey, Brian, what do you see?" I saw, well, the ball went through. There was no one on the back post. He's like, "Make that run. If you go in, make that run to the back post and see if it goes through." And so we talked, and I talked with the other guys that might play that position. And so I go in, and sure enough, free kick about the same spot as that one that happened. It goes through. I run on the back post. Goal. We're up 2-0. But I followed the playbook. Okay, I followed what we were going to do. And so the playbook's important. We have to follow the playbook. We have to know the playbook. We all have a playbook, right? And we're all taught the playbook. And so who are you teaching? Who are you teaching the Bible to? Who are you teaching God's word to? You know, and what are you teaching that is from God's word? What are you teaching to others from the Bible? And how might we know we are side by side, we are teammates, and how might we know that we are leading? And I think you know other people, the way you know we're teammates and we're side by side and we're in the battle together is we know what other people need prayer for. Yeah. And I think look around and can you look at these guys' faces and go, "I know what he needs prayer for. And I know what he's praying for, and I'm praying about that for him and that for him." Are you guys aware of what's going on in people's lives and praying for them? And how often in your prayers are you praying for other people? You know, you read a scripture and realize it would help someone, but not just someone, but someone specific. And why do you know it would help someone? Because you're in their lives, because you're their teammate, because you're their brother. And so that's why you know. Because you are a team player, you know it will encourage them, you know it will help them, you know it will help them get through a hard time. So, you know, how about sharing the truth? Sometimes the truth hurts, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to share the truth. Yeah. When was the last time you shared the truth? And even though the truth might hurt, we do need the truth in our lives. So when was the last time you shared the truth? When was the last time you shared the Bible and challenged, you know, someone? I remember when I went to India in 2004, the church kind of covered me because I was short on funds. And I got back and I remember I had the funds to pay it, but it would have been really, really tight. Mm-hmm. And so I did not want to pay the funds. Even though I was already late, I should have already paid it. And I remember being open about that, like, "Yeah, I'm scared and I shouldn't do it, and I just it's gonna be tight for a week maybe if I pay it now." And they were like, "You have the funds, pay it off." Romans 13:8, "Don't let any debt remain outstanding." And so someone challenged me with the scripture, challenged me with the Bible. Okay, yeah, it's biblical to not have any debt remain outstanding. It's biblical to pay off my debt, and I have the funds, so let me pay it off. And I'm grateful for that. I learned from that. It helped me see the truth, know the truth, live out the truth, and have faith in the truth that even though it might be tight, I'm going to take care of what God tells me to take care of, and I'm going to move forward. I'm going to trust God. So it's the small things that help with the big things. So we have to be committed to the Bible and its teaching, not to what we feel and think. You know, I see too much where we're doing what we think is okay. It might not be wrong. It might not be a wrong decision, but is it the best? Is it the best decision? I see this a lot amongst us. Is there's kind of, "Oh, well, I'm gonna do this." There's a lot of independence that I see in this group of men. You know, people kind of doing their own thing, kind of people just doing what they want. People not getting advice or any direction. Just, "Well, this is what I'm doing, and this is what I'm doing. Oh, I have this plan, I have that plan." But is there any advice about that plan? Is there any seeking? Do you think that's the best decision? So look at what Israel was getting the whole time in Deuteronomy. What were they getting? They were getting direction. Mm-hmm. Where were they getting it from? They were getting it from the Bible. Okay, they were getting it from God's word. They were getting direction. So, but I see lots of us just making decisions and doing it without getting much feedback. Or, you know, and not giving much leadership, not giving much direction, you know. And that, I think that's a dangerous thing, because it shows independence, and that independence kind of stems from pride. If we're going to make a difference, we need to be ones that follow the Bible. And last time I checked, and every time I checked, the Bible talks about seeking counsel, it talks about seeking advice, it talks about asking questions.
Yeah.
How often are we doing that? How often are we seeking advice? How often are we asking questions? How often are we getting counsel? You know, this isn't just about being humble, but leaders ask questions too. And I know we are all leaders in this room. We are leaders for the world to go and make a difference. And you know, Moses, he asked God's questions. Moses was a leader, but he was asking God questions. Peter, he for sure asked Jesus questions. The disciples, how do we pray? They're asking questions. You know, Paul asked when Jesus first speaks to them, who are you, Lord? The leaders in the Bible, they ask questions. You know, we need to be men that seek counsel and ask questions, that ask advice. You know, Proverbs 13:10, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. You know, how many advisors do you have? Or do you just have advisors that are going to give you what you want to hear? But do you actually have advisors that are going to challenge you and not tell you what you want to hear? They're actually going to tell you the truth. Proverbs 15:12, a mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise. Have you been corrected and challenged with the truth that you resent correction. You resent being taught and being getting advice. You know, Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is what? Is stupid. That's the Bible. That's what it says. This is something we need to seriously, we need to lead in this way by getting advice, getting counsel from the scriptures and asking people to help us with these things. You know, we lead because we seek advice, because we're humble, right? And because we are disciplined in this area of our life. What does the scripture say? It says we become wise. It says we become wise by doing this. You know, even in the world, if you think of the richest men, they don't just go and buy whoever, they don't just go and buy Manchester United just because they have the money. No, they're going to talk to their advisors and their counselors and consultants. And David knows about consulting. People in the world don't even make these huge, big financial decisions without getting advice. And that's about money. Are we getting advice about our spiritual lives, which is way, way more important than what financial transaction am I going to make? And these are guys that have loads and loads, billions of dollars, but they understand this principle of getting advice, getting counsel, and getting direction. Are we humble enough to that? Are we humble enough to something even bigger and more important? There's something else that happens in a team. You know, there's veterans. You know, there's veterans on a team, and there's those that have been around for a while, but then there's also those that are kind of younger, newer teammates, right? They're kind of new to the team. So what do we do with them? What do we do with the younger guys? What do we do with them? The rookies. We got to get them involved. We got to get them on the playbook. We got to train them, just like we were trained. We got to continue to train. Not because we're trained, we stop training. No, let's give to what was given to us. And remember Matthew 10. We were given it freely. And so freely we receive, freely we give. So we pass it down. We pass down what we know. And so my second point is future leaders. You know, and there are future leaders. Even the veterans, they could be future leaders for things going on. Disciples that have been around for 10 plus years or longer, or however long. There are things that God might be calling you to lead. And the younger guys, do you even have that heart where you want to be trained? You want to learn. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, starting in verse 10. It says, then Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, in the year for canceling debts during the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the aliens living in your town, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. The children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You know, teach it to the children. Teach it to those younger than you. Teach it to those that do not know. And what are they teaching? They're teaching the playbook. They're teaching the Bible. They're teaching the teachings of God. That's what they're teaching. You know, Deuteronomy 32, starting in verse 44. Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. When Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you, they are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess." You know, take heart all the words. And they are not just idle words for you, but they are your life. That's Moses brings Joshua into this scene with him. You know, he brings Joshua with him, showing him what he's saying, listening carefully to these things so that these words, they're your life. They will be in you and you will live it out. Why do you think he brings Joshua? He's teaching Joshua. He's, "Hey Joshua, this is what you're going to be doing. This is, watch me closely." Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. It says, "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." Moses taught Joshua. Joshua had the same spirit of Moses, the same spirit of wisdom as Moses. Because why? Well, they spent time together. You don't just get the same spirit as someone just with the snap of a finger or the blink of an eye. No, you got to spend time with someone. They interacted. They were close. For someone to have the same spirit as you, what does that mean? It means interaction. It means being loving. It means being given. It means sharing. It means teaching. It means explaining. It means being vulnerable. It means being real. It means being open and honest and detailed. You know, you don't just learn the playbook without having some serious sit-down lesson. Let's get in, let's dig deep, let's take this and let's let it be our lives. It just doesn't just happen. So, you know, it's clear here in this passage that we are to think about the future and impress our faith and the Bible onto others. So think about that. Do you think about the future? Who are you bringing the Bible to? Who are you bringing the Bible to? Is there someone you're teaching, someone you're helping them grow in their faith? You know, their faith can only go as far as yours. Their love for God, their love for the Bible can only go as far as you will take them. It only go that far. What area in you do you need to grow in helping someone grow? And do you think there's an area that you need to grow and to help someone grow? You know, Moses wasn't just sharing this with Israel. He was pressing this teaching upon all of Israel, that teaching, raising people up in the Word of God. It's essential. Are we raising people up in the Word of God? It is what we do. And Moses says, it is our life. It is your life. Is teaching the Bible to others your life? You know, we need to invest in people. We need to give them time and input and give them the Bible more than anything else. That's what we need to do. And you know, when I was a student in the student ministry at Old Dominion University in Virginia, every Saturday morning we had this group called the Mighty Men, and we'd get together and we'd talk about, there's a book called The Mighty Men of God, and we'd go over a chapter and we'd learn about being men, and not just men, but being men for God and doing these things. And it was in my house, but it was a Saturday morning, it was like at 8 a.m., and sometimes I was upstairs, nice and warm and cozy, asleep. And sometimes I would get up, I know what's going on, but I was like, I'm tired. I don't want to do this. Right downstairs. It was 10 steps down from where I was sleeping. But those guys would come up and get me and be like, "Man, the word's being preached. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's hear that. You want to hear this. This is going to help so much. It's going to help us. This is going to help the team. It's going to help our goals." You guys talk about goals and things you want to see on your ministries or things you want to see in the singles or on your campuses. Do you talk about these things? Do you have dreams? Do you work together to get them? You know, those were great, great times. I remember those times. So much. Saturday morning, college students, you know, 18, 22-year-olds, getting together at 8 a.m. to get into the Bible together and learn about what it is to be men of God.
Yes.
You know, this is something I'd love to do here. This is something I'd love to do in Central. But when I think of doing this, I think of doing it, and actually what comes to mind is this is what I'm afraid. I'm fearful. This is what I'm going to hear is, I've got too much going on. You know, my plate's too full. You know, I can't make it. I have this planned. I have that planned. It's too much. And that's really what I think I would hear if I started setting something like that up, or if any of you start setting it up. I think that's what I would hear. Saturday morning, 8 a.m.? That's kind of early. I'm still sleeping at that time. Really? Future leaders, leading people to God's word. It's your life. Is it your life? I really think that's what I would hear. And I think this, but I want to be real and open about this because this is where I think we're at. I didn't just come up with this. These are things I hear. That's not even about Saturday morning at 8 a.m. But these are things I hear about other things. And it's stated as fact instead of, it's stated as fact as, oh, I've got this plan or that plan. Oh, no. People approach these things that maybe we're trying to do as fact instead of, hey, I have this planned or I'd like to do this, but I'm having a problem figuring out what I should do. There's not a very humble approach to it. Like, well, what do you think? It's, sorry, I've got this planned. So it's almost like you don't even care. Like, it's, I'm sorry, I got this planned. Instead of, well, I really want to go to that. I don't think there's this thirst and there's this desire to, and I want to be trained, I want to grow, I want to learn, I want to be a leader for God and bringing men to Him. You know, because this is the state of some of our hearts, and it does concern me because it shows for those that could be future leaders that one, that they don't want to be, and two, maybe they don't even think about it, that they don't want to be taught the Bible more, that they don't want to be taught the Bible deeper, that they don't want to know the playbook and have it be a part of their lives. And you know, this is what I really envision for us as men is Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants." You know, this scripture paints a scene where the Bible is our food, where it's, man, it's going to rain on me, and I'm going to take every last inch of it I can. I'm going to take every ounce of it I can. Where it comes into our lives, and it's accepted, and it's totally taken in, and there's not one part of it that goes to waste. But what I fear and what I see is man, I fear that we're kind of becoming biblical illiterate. You know, that we're becoming illiterate with the Bible. But we need to be Bible experts. We need to be Bible experts desiring to know the Bible and to know the truth and to teach it and to know the intrinsics of it and understand it and present it in a way that will glorify God. Do you desire that? Do you desire to lead? And I think whether you like it or not, you are already leading. You are leading in some way, shape, or form. But how are you leading? You know, brothers lead in a way that we need to lead in a way that the Word of God is what we're leading people to. Bring people to the Bible. You know, and we need to be doing that so someone can fill our shoes eventually. Because we're not always going to be here. We might move. Who knows? We might pass away. It's reality. It's reality. Don't you want to leave a legacy? Don't you want to leave something behind that? So we leave a legacy by how? By walking side by side with one another. By teaching and preaching the Word of God to each other, helping each other stay close to the Bible, and by not losing sight of this. We can't lose sight of this. When we lose sight of it, we lose focus. It's very easy. You see it happen. You know, when I played in that game, I lost sight of the playbook, and I got yanked. I was done. We got to stay focused on the Bible. We stay as a team. We give each other visions. You know, by encouraging others and challenging others. You know, Joshua, he didn't just get the spirit of Moses without being challenged. You know, he didn't, without desiring to be more than he thought he could be. And do you guys desire that for each other? When you see each other, Do you see them for what they are or for what they're not? And for what they're not is something so great, so much greater. Do you see something so much greater in each of us? Something that we're not, but God can easily help us become. But in order for us to become that, it takes what? It takes teaching. It takes some giving. It takes some vulnerability. It takes being honest, but doing it out of love. So this is we got to be a team. We gotta realize there's a future. We gotta help each other grow. We want to desire to grow, guys. We gotta desire to grow, and desire to grow by asking questions, by getting advice, by seeking counsel. But we do this as men. We do this as men because Jesus is our Lord, and we've all said that Jesus is Lord, and because of that, this should be our hearts, and this is what we need to desire. And we already lead, but do we lead in the way that pleases God? So that's the lesson for tonight, guys. So, mm-hmm. Amen.